Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us today. And we are going to continue in our study of John chapter 8. What an incredibly rich and deep, an exquisite chapter of Scripture this is. And we're going to tackle one of the greatest verses in the Bible, which is, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What a great verse. So we're going to deconstruct it and exegete it and really see what it's saying, and then we're going to put it back together and answer the question, so what? So are you ready? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts today to the Word of God. Illuminate our spirits by your Holy Spirit, that we might grasp spiritual truth that which has to be spiritually discerned. So give us that ability today, and use your word to bring hope and encouragement and fortification to our souls as we continue to live for you until the day we see you face to face. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what did we say? Amen. And what? Amen. You bet. Now, as I said, we're in John chapter 8, and we left off last week at verse 29, where Jesus was talking about, I am he. And if you don't believe I am he, you will die in your sins. And also about how only Jesus can reveal and teach us who God really is. He is the one who exegetes God, explains him, lays out who he is and why he does what he does for us. So we're going to continue now. Let's pick up verse 30. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and were never in bondage to anyone. Now, that's not true. They were in bondage to the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. They were in bondage to the Persians. They were in bondage to, now they're currently in bondage to the Roman Empire. I don't know what they're talking about. They must, I don't know. But anyway, that's what they say. How is it that you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, said, I'm not talking about the physical world of politics. Jesus said, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There's our verse. What a great verse. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, Jesus just before this said, who commits sin is a slave of sin, and the slave doesn't stay, doesn't abide, remain in the house forever, but a son does. And he's talking here, of course, about how we, when God finds us, we are slaves to sin, but how God adopts us into his very own family, John chapter 1, verse 14, and he gives us the right to be called the sons of God. And we then, as followers of Christ, remain in the house forever. That's what he's talking about. And if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I remember when I first came to Christ, what a horrible slave I was to sin and to unrighteousness and to a horrible self-destructive behavior. And this verse meant so much to me. If the Son makes you free, Lon, you're going to be free indeed. But this verse does not just apply to that. As a matter of fact, that's what we want to talk about. What kind of freedom is Jesus promising us here? Freedom from what? If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Okay, there are four things in the Bible that Jesus says he makes us free from when he enters our life. And there may be more, but there's four very important ones that I want us to see today. So, let's look at them, shall we? Number one, Jesus makes us free when he comes into our life from death, from the sting of death. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 54 says that for us who are followers of Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a rhetorical question. Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Well, the answer is obvious. Death doesn't have a sting for a believer. Hell doesn't have victory for a believer. Look right in this chapter, John chapter 8, and look what Jesus says here. Look at verse 51. Most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, watch, he shall never see death. And the Jews say, now we know you're crazy. Abraham died, the prophets died. Who do you think you are? Well, he's not talking about separating from our physical body. That's physical death. He's talking about spiritual death, being separated from the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit and going to hell. And he's saying, you will never taste that. Because, as followers of Christ, to be absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord. To depart, Philippians 1, and be with Christ. We don't depart and go to hell. We depart and be with Christ, Paul says, is exceedingly far better. So this is the first thing that Jesus delivers us from and makes us free. He makes us free from the sting of death. Because we go to be with the Lord where we live eternally in the Lord's presence, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, after we leave here. Now, the second thing that the Son makes us free from is damnation. Look what Jesus says here, John chapter 8. He says in verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, that I'm God in the flesh, that I am Jehovah God who spoke to Moses in Exodus 3 from the book and said from the bush and said, my name is I am. If you don't believe that, you will die in your sins. And if we die in our sins, what happens? We're damned. God judges us in his holiness. If we go into eternity, not in Christ, but in our sins, not covered by the blood of Christ, but having our sin naked before the holiness of God, the holiness of God is like a fiery red burner on the stove. When you drip water on it, the water vaporizes because of the heat. It's so hot. Hey, the holiness of God is 10,000 times hotter than that. And when we go into that without the covering of the blood of Christ, we're judged for sin and damned for eternity. But when we're in Christ, the Son makes us free from that. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. No. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is live, what am I saying? Therefore, the Bible says, there is now no condemnation, no damnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hey, how can God say it any simpler than that? Because we're covered by the blood of Christ. which the holiness of God has agreed not to see through and see our sin, and therefore have to damn us. Third thing that the Son, if he makes us free from, that we are free indeed, is our self-destructive passions. Yeah, I when I went to high school in senior English, we did English, British literature, and we read some awful stuff. We read Beowulf, terrible. We have read the Canterbury Tales, terrible. We read Shakespeare, terrible. I couldn't understand a single thing any of these people were talking about. We read a whole bunch of British, of old English poems like Elegy in a Country Churchyard, "Send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." It's the only line I remember from the whole stinking class. But I couldn't understand what in the heck Shakespeare was talking about. If it hadn't have been for Cliff Notes, today you use the internet, but we used Cliff Notes back then, I'd still be in high school. But you know, one thing I did understand about Shakespeare is that all of his tragedies, his plays that were tragedies, were about the same basic subject. They were about a man's or woman's incapacity to control and subjugate their own self-destructive passions, whether it's Macbeth with his greed for the throne, or whether it's Hamlet and revenge, or whether it's Othello and jealousy, or whether or not it's the Merchant of Venice and Shylock, his monetary greed, or whether it's Romeo and Juliet and their hatred of other people. On and on we go. In every case, the thing ended badly for these people. That's why they call these tragedies. And what's the great tragedy of these plays? This great insight into human nature that Shakespeare had? It's our inability to control our self-destructive passions. Instead, they get out of control and they damage and sometimes destroy us and people around us. Yeah. If you're not an alcoholic, you just don't destroy your own life, you destroy the lives of people around you. Same's true with being addicted to drugs. Same's true with being physically abusive to your family. Same's true with being a person with a horrible temper. Same's true with on and on and on. Now, this is not just something that people struggle with in Shakespeare's plays. This is something every one of us struggles with today. I mean, listen, every day, every one of us struggles to talk right, to think right, to forgive right, to speak about other people right, to eat right, to exercise right, to drink right, or if we're talking about alcohol, not to drink, to not use drugs, to not lust over the opposite sex, and on and on and on. And you know what? We lose that battle a lot of days. Thank God for his forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. But we lose that battle a lot. Why? Because we all have self-destructive passions in us, and they're powerful, and Satan stirs them up so that they become almost literally irresistible in our lives. And they do damage and destruction. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Those passions will still be inside of you and me, but we will not have to be their slave. No, no. By the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we're walking filled with the Holy Spirit, we can subjugate those passions. We can subdue those passions and we can cause them to be subliminated so that we can live above them. Not perfectly, but consistently. And this is freedom. This is what Jesus said. Look what he said here in John chapter 8. He said, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And this is what we are before we know Christ. We are slaves of sin. Now, Paul deals with this in great length. In fact, the whole chapter, Romans chapter 6, is all about this. But let me just pick up and read a crucial nugget from that chapter for you. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin, our human body with its sin nature, might be done away with, that we should no longer serve sin. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members of your body, your hands, your feet, your eyes, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because the Son made us free from our slavery to sin, where we could not resist our sinfulness by putting the Holy Spirit inside of us. And if we surrender to him and make our members, our human body, surrender it to him every day and every moment of every day and ask him to fill us and to use us for righteousness, we don't have to serve sin. I was a captive of sin up until I gave my life to Christ. I tried to beat it. I tried to turn over a new leaf. I tried to live differently. It was impossible. I didn't have the power. I was a slave. But when Jesus came into my life, I want to tell you, I still have all that self-destructive passion inside of me, but at least, praise the Lord, for 51 years, it has not wrecked my life like it did for the first 22. Praise the Lord. Free, indeed. Finally, what did Jesus mean when he said, if I make you free, you'll be free indeed? Number one, you'll be free from eternal death. Number two, you'll be free from damnation. Number three, we'll be free from being slaves to our self-destructive passions. And number four, we are free from the law. Now, why is that important? Well, the law is human performance. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham. He says in verse 2, for if Abraham was justified, pronounced not guilty before God by works, he has something about which to boast, but not before God. Nobody's going to ever have that. Now, to him who works, verse 4, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If it's works by which we earn our salvation, then God has to pay us. God has to give it to us. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Well, the law is a works system where we earn or don't earn our salvation and our approval by God. It is a performance system that nobody can keep. If we're on a performance treadmill with God, every one of us fails every day, and every one of us falls short every day. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus made us free from being under the law. We are not under the law, but under grace. And because we're not under the law anymore, therefore, our relationship with God is not based on performance anymore. It's based on God's grace, God's mercy to us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our works. Do you understand what a marvelous thing this is to not be on a performance trip with God, but to be unconditionally loved by God, regardless of our performance? This is why in Romans chapter 8, listen to what the Apostle Paul says, the Holy Spirit through him. He says, "For I am persuaded," verse 38, "that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing," including the law, that pretty well covers it all, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Why won't anything be able to separate us? Because we're unconditionally loved in Christ. We're not under a performance system. If we were under a performance system, there's a lot of things that could separate us from God and his love and place us under his judgment. But praise the Lord, we're free from the law. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because the law is a curse. It's a performance system that as sinners, none of us can possibly meet. And Paul goes on to say in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," the freedom, "with which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." The yoke of bondage is this performance system, the law that he's talking about. And he says, you're free from that now. You're free. You're a son. You're not a slave in the house, a servant. You're a son of God and unconditionally loved. So let's summarize. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed from eternal death, from damnation, from bondage to your sinful, the self-destructive passions, and free from, number four, a performance system with Almighty God. Hey, if the Son makes you free, praise the Lord, you shall be free indeed. How great is it to be free from death eternally, to be free from damnation, to be free from our self-destructive passions having bondage over us, and to be free from being on a performance treadmill with the living God of the universe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we're going to ask our most important question now. Are you ready? Come on, ask it with me. Come on. One, two, three. So what? You bet. And you know, just about 2 years ago, almost to the weekend, I was being wheeled into surgery over at Fairfax Hospital for open heart surgery, bypasses, repairing my aorta. It was bad, friends. Even the surgeon himself was pretty amazed I was even still alive to make it to the surgery. But here I am. Praise the Lord, teaching the word and still serving Christ, sharing the gospel everywhere I go if I can. The Lord help me. And so that's why I say, what do I say? Say it with me. Are you ready? Come on. Come on. How sweet it is. Yeah, I was thinking about naming my biography How Sweet It Is, but Jackie Gleason's biography is already named How Sweet It Is. So, yeah, I can't use that, but how sweet it is. And so, in conclusion, what's our takeaway from today? What's our not a sermon, just a thought for today? Well, it's this. Everything that you were in bondage to before you knew Christ, all of that, Jesus has made you free indeed from it all. Made you free indeed. Hey, isn't that wonderful? I look back now at myself before I knew Christ, and I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. I was in chains, complete chains, in every part of my life. I was headed for damnation. I was headed for eternal death. I was unable to get out from the bondage to my sinful passions. And I was on a performance system with God that was failing. I was failing every day. And therefore, God was forced in his justice to condemn me had I died in that state. And I didn't have a relationship with him because I wasn't his child yet. I was still a slave to sin. Hey, when the Son made me free, I became free indeed. Now, when he made you free from eternal death, is there any going backwards? No. When he made you free from damnation, is there any going backwards? No. Fourth, when he made you free from being on a performance treadmill with God, is there any going backwards to that treadmill? No. But number three, in making us free from our bondage to our self-destructive passions, yes, that can, on a daily basis, can go up and down, because our freedom to behave in a way that is free from those passions is dependent on the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life and on the power of the Holy Spirit to submerge and to sublimate those passions so that they don't dominate our life. And let me just go back in closing to Paul's comment in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts, and do not present your members, your tongue, your hands, your feet, your mind, your eyes, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're under grace, not the law. Now that goes to number four. We're not on a performance system. But these other verses are challenging us and telling us, even as a believer, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit every day and we're not surrendered to letting him live the Christian life through us supernaturally every moment of every day, we can still go back, even as believers, even though we're not a slave of sin positionally in our everyday status, we can still go back and sin and present our members as instruments of sin, even though we've been freed. So it's like somebody who's in jail and they're let out of jail. They're set free. I mean, they can go out and start a brand new life and live a functional, happy, useful life, or they can go back out and sin some more. They have that option. So do we as believers, but we don't have to sin because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And so therefore, the so what today is, let us seek to live the way we really are. Let's seek to live as free from these self-destructive passions as we can possibly be. And we do that by being filled with the Holy Spirit every moment of every day when we let him down, we say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me, fill me back with your spirit, and trying to live as consistently as we possibly can under the power and the filling of the spirit so that we don't, as Paul said here, we don't present our members as tools of unrighteousness, but rather we present them unto God as tools of righteousness. Let's have a zeal, friends, to be filled with the Spirit every moment of every day and to pursue that personal holiness and obedience to the Word of God that we have been set free to be able to do. Praise the Lord. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And as a believer, you are. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, how I thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom from eternal death. Freedom from damnation and the eternal judgment of God's holiness. Freedom from our self-destructive passions, that we don't have to obey them. And freedom from the performance system of the law that keeps us every day failing in our relationship with you. We're free from that, and we're under a new system, a system of grace and sonship and daughtership and unconditional love from God. What a wonderful freedom the Lord Jesus has given us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to rejoice in that each and every day, and help us to seek to be filled with the Spirit that we might live out that freedom here on earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. And by the way, I should mention it, even though here we're in these bodies with a sin nature, when we get to heaven, we're going to get glorified bodies and we'll have a fifth freedom, which is the freedom from our sin nature altogether. These new bodies won't have a sin nature. And therefore, we won't have to fight the fight every moment of every day against our sinful, instinctive behavior. That's great, huh? There's that fifth freedom that's coming when the Lord gives us our new bodies like his. All right. Hey, God bless you. Walk in freedom. For if the Son makes you free, hey, you are free indeed. Praise the Lord. Look forward to seeing you next week on Live with Lon. God bless you.